In the middle of the night, drones streaked across the sky over the Holy Land. Israel's military defense is in overdrive to respond to an unprecedented attack by Iran, which the IDF says launched more than 200 drones from inside Iran, as well as from proxies in Iraq, Syria, and southern Lebanon. A U.S. official tells ABC News the targets were military bases, including one housing F-35 fighter jets. ABC's Britt Clennett describes what she saw.
About an hour ago, we were seeing trails of orange, these orange flashes in the sky, and then the thud of Israel's air defense in action. It almost sounded like thunder. There was at least a dozen projectiles in all directions behind me.
After the drones launched, Iran's supreme leader said the evil regime will be punished. President Biden cut short his weekend trip to Delaware, returning to the White House Saturday afternoon to huddle with his national security team. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said the defensive systems are deployed, adding, "We are prepared for any scenario, both in defense and attack." Netanyahu once again vowing, "Whoever hurts us, we hurt them." According to a U.S. official, American forces shot down some of the Iranian drones headed towards Israel. The U.S. military has been increasing its presence in the Middle East, adding troops, ships, and aircrafts to protect assets already in the region. At the United Nations, Iran said the U.S., quote, must stay away, claiming its attack on Israel was conducted as a legitimate defense in response to Israel's attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria earlier this month.
Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, how could we not begin this week by talking about what happened in Israel just a few days ago? And we're going to do that. We're going to Israel. We're going to Jerusalem, actually. We're going to talk about what's happening there. And it's you're going to get some really great insight into what's happening there, what's happening in the world, and what's happening in this country as well. So I hope that you will stay tuned. It's just amazing. The twists and turns of this are amazing. And so stay tuned so you can at least be abreast of all of that and know how to respond here in this country and how to vote and how to support and who to support. I'm not going to tell you who, but I'm going to tell you what people are doing and you can decide. So the Israelis are very pro-life. You'll hear my guests talk about that. Life is very precious to them and they do everything they can. I can tell you firsthand, having been there on a journalist tour, meeting with military leaders and also just the intricacies of how much they take care to save life when they go into neighborhoods and try to do strikes to kill the enemies without hurting the community. It's amazing. They go to great lengths. Well, we're pro-life also in this side of the world, those of us that are believers in Jesus. So I want to tell you a nice story. This is Jabra. She was a young lady who found herself in an unplanned pregnancy and was strongly influenced to end her pregnancy at a Planned Parenthood clinic. Even as they administered the abortion pill, she began to feel cold and anxious. She got up, fled home, and started searching for how to reverse what she thought was a curse, which led her to a preborn network clinic. The nurse there immediately administered progesterone and calmed her greatest fear, and her baby was saved. Well, that's the work of preborn. That's the work of preborn, and that's what you've been helping me with for over a year now. So I want to ask you to help again. You go to preborn.com/Sandy. $28 will provide one ultrasound to save one baby's life. And any, you know, multiple of that beyond, they will accept any donation you can afford, however much you can afford. You might want to be an ongoing partner with Preborn. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. By the way, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. You can catch the podcast on any podcast outlet. You can also go to sandyrios.com and you can listen to the show very easily there. You can go to afr.net. That is our home base and listen as well. Okay, today's show is really powerful. It really is, and you're going to learn things that you don't know. And actually, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be optimistic. So stay tuned to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Iran launched the attacks in waves. More than 300 missiles and drones were fired at Israel in an unprecedented assault whilst the world held its breath. They arrived in Israeli airspace just before 2 a.m. in the morning. These were intercepts over Jerusalem. The holy city was under attack, and the skies above alight with the trails of Israel's air defense system. The region had been on edge for days, but this was a bigger, far more dangerous retaliation than many predicted. The Israeli military warned people to stay close to bomb shelters.
Dozens of unmanned aircraft were intercepted outside the borders of the State of Israel. The IDF does and will do everything that is required to protect the security of the citizens of the State of Israel.
As the nation braced, airspace was closed over Jordan and Iraq. Flights in the air headed for Tel Aviv were turned back. The US Embassy told its staff to take shelter, and schools in Israel have been ordered to close for the next 2 days. The Israeli military released this video of the drones and missiles being intercepted. Most were taken down outside of Israeli airspace. The few missiles that did fall within the country only caused minor damage. Most were intercepted before they reached Israeli airspace. This was the remains of a missile shot down over northern Iraq.
All right, that's a Sky News report. And of course, that's what the sound was like at 2 a.m. in the morning on Saturday. Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. It's hard for us to imagine, and this is our first chance to get to talk about it. There are so many complexities here, as there always are. The Middle East is always complicated, intriguing if you don't live there, frightening if you do live there. But now the whole world understands that this has repercussions for all of us, and the response to what's happening is really jaw-dropping. And so I wanted to go to Israel and talk to someone there. And Josh Reinstein, I met him when he was just a young man in Israel after he'd served in the Israeli Defense Forces and left Texas to move to Israel because of he's half Jewish and half American. And now he's grown to be the president of the Israel Allies Foundation and the director of the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus. It's late afternoon in Israel, and he agreed to join us and tell us what's going on there. Josh, thanks so much. I can't say good morning. I have to say good afternoon for you. But thanks for joining us.
Well, I'll get to say good morning to you, Sandy. So thank you for having me. Good morning.
Okay. All right. Some basic questions, Josh. Did Israel know that this attack was coming?
Well, we were given intel by the Biden administration that something was going to come from Iran in the next 24 to 48 hours. That was on Friday. So we did expect something, but nothing of this scope. I mean, this was the largest attack using missiles and drones in the history of mankind. So this is a massive attack that we didn't think was going to be on this scale. But we were prepared for any scenario, so we were prepared for this attack.
Yeah, I want to just spell it out. I guess the report said something about it, but it was 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, 120 ballistic missiles, targeting Israel. Josh, I was watching several videos, and I saw this sort of this incredible stuff over the Iron Dome. And so just heartsick, because you would think that the Iranians would value that. That's a sacred mosque. It's a sacred for them. The mosque that they built on top of the Dome of the Rock.
The
Temple Mount. So that people of Muslim and Christian persuasion, that's a very sacred place, and yet they were willing to destroy that. I think that's remarkable, don't you?
Well, I don't think they really care. That's the answer. You know, a lot of this is used to manipulate people, saying that this is some sort of, you know, land for peace or about the Palestinians. This isn't. This is a religious war. The Iranians want to bring about the coming of the 12th Imam. That's who they believe is the Messiah. And they believe that when he comes, Islam will rule the world. And they believe by destroying Israel and what God is doing in Israel, they can bring about this Islamic caliphate. And that's what this is all about. This has never been about peace or, you know, land for peace or the Palestinians or the Temple Mount or any of these things they use. They're trying to fulfill what they believe is prophecy, and they're doing it by trying to wipe Israel off the map.
But I want to make the point that they came very close to destroying that and many other places. But it was all intercepted before it even got close, although from the photo, it sure looked like it was close to the Iron Dome at least. I've been reading that there are a couple of people that were injured. I heard that in a Bedouin shepherd boy was injured or killed. I'm not sure which. And also a little girl. But you can hear all kinds of things. Josh, what do we know about injuries?
We don't know about really any significant injuries. I did hear a rumor that there was a little girl that was injured. There was no deaths, of course. But we have to understand that what we witnessed was a full miracle. You know, what Ben Gurion once said, that if you don't believe in miracles in Israel, then you're not realistic. That's what we saw. This was a miracle of biblical proportion. They were sending ballistic missiles, which is like some of the biggest payload you can have. And we were knocking them out of the air just in the nick of time. So really, we can't just rely on the fact that, you know, this is going to happen again. And that's why it's so discerning to see that the U.S. is trying to stop us from retaliating from this mega attack that is unprecedented, really.
It is the first time ever. Were you surprised? Was Israel surprised that I'm sure I was going to say surprised that Jordan and Saudi Arabia helped in this defense along with the United States and British, I believe, also. Were you surprised by any of that?
Yes, I was. You know, we always talk about the Abraham Accords. We talk about the alliance with moderate countries against Iran. But this is the first time the world got to see it in action. We were, you know, obviously the American fighter pilots were at peak conditions, and they just did a phenomenal job. And Jordan also stepped in, and the United Kingdom. We got information from Saudi Arabia. So it was the first time not only that we were attacked by Iran, but it was the first time that we saw this coalition of moderate countries come together in defense of Israel. You know, the Jewish people always know that we're always alone and we always have to do it alone. And when that's not the case, it's always a pleasant surprise. We don't depend on it, but it was exciting to see it in action.
Yeah, I was shocked too. I was shocked that Americans joined. And I'm going to get into the American response in a minute. But before I do that, what kind of preparation did the Israelis make? How would you possibly prepare for something like that?
Well, you know, when you're talking about suicide drones, and they sent, as you mentioned, over 100 of them, you have 9 hours to prepare. It's a far flight from Iran to Israel, so I don't think people were more concerned about that. And then you have the cruise missiles, which take about 2 hours, which is also something that, you know, you can prepare for. You can be, you know, people made sure that they had a bomb shelter nearby, that there's food and things like that. What was really scary was that they actually shot ballistic missiles, because then you only have 12 minutes to prepare, and they have big payloads. They're way bigger than the ones that we are used to from Hamas in Gaza, for example. So once the ballistic missiles were shot, we thought it was going to be, you know, a very, very scary night. But really, God is always our Iron Dome, and he really stepped in and just completely knocked everything out of the sky. The fact that there were no casualties and no deaths is really, I think that's something they're going to be studying at West Point for the next 100 years. It's really
I think so. I think so, too. The Iron Dome, one of the briefings I had, well, this was not when I met you. This is years later. I went on a journalist tour of Israel and met the inventor, Danny, whatever his name is, of the Iron Dome, and heard for the first time about how it works. It's just fascinating, just astounding, a smart way to intercept where it doesn't even involve humans trying to spot incoming projectiles. It is smart, and it goes after them. And it's just stunning how it has worked. I have just one practical question, Josh, because you were an expert at tank operations and all the computerized wizardry of the modern tanks. When you shoot down something like a ballistic missile that you just said carries a big payload, where does it go? I mean, where does it go? What is the debris? There's got to be debris, or does it just get incinerated?
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's not just a miracle because we were able to shoot it down with our Iron Domes. Here we had a situation where we had fighter pilots, F-35s, F-16s, shooting down the suicide drones. We had Arrow 3 missiles taking out some of the ballistic ones. We had Iron Dome. It was all in together. And then you have the shrapnel. I mean, there is shrapnel, of course, and that comes down on the civilian population. Sometimes the shrapnel's more dangerous than the actual missile, depending on where it blows up. So all these things come into play, and we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of incidents, over 300 attacks, and yet there were no casualties. And that's why I say that in addition to the incredible, you know, technology and the skill of the people who are operating it, you have to look at it and see this as a miracle.
I think you're right. In fact, it gives me, it really does give me chills to hear you say that, because I think you're right. And by the way, I should just stop and say your organization is the president, as the president of the Israel Allies Foundation and the director of the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus. Josh works with people like Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, many friends of mine who have been very involved. They do incredible work bringing in allies all over the country. Josh, I'm curious, before we get back to this, because we're going to get right back to it, this started out of the Knesset. Was this a way to connect Christian members of the Knesset, or was it just a way to reach across to Christian allies? Because you understood that Christians are probably your strongest, those that are serious. How did this begin?
Well, we saw in 2004 that it was Christians, not countries, that were standing with Israel. And we knew that we had to build direct lines of communication, cooperation and coordination with our Christian allies around the world. So it started as a group of members of Knesset from left to right, religious to secular, that came together to start this new relationship between Jews and Christians in the 21st century. Then in 2006, we got a really big break when Congress decided to start our first sister caucus in solidarity with Israel during the second Lebanese war. So we have the Congressional Israelites Caucus, which is the only bipartisan caucus on Capitol Hill today. And that started a domino effect of caucuses being started all over the world. So today we have actually 53 Israel Allies caucuses in 53 countries, about 1,500 legislators in our network, and what we call faith-based diplomacy, when people take their biblical support and turn it into real political action. And Sandy, today, faith-based diplomacy is the most important weapon we have in our diplomatic arsenal.
Well, I always say that there's nothing short of God himself that can intervene in any of this and solve it. I mean, it's just too complex. It's too overwhelming. It doesn't even make sense that you would be assaulted. Now, in the particular case of this attack, assaulted by so many ballistic missiles and drones and all of it, and have the outcome that you described. It doesn't make sense. And I do believe God is the secret sauce across the globe, in our country and yours too. The only one that can intervene and help all of us during these dangerous times. I have to turn the corner here a little bit. This Caroline Glick has become a friend. She's written in the last 24 hours, I guess just this morning, that the Biden administration approved Iran's massive missile strike against Israel ahead of time. And then helped, says Caroline, Israel intercept the missiles and forbade Israel from responding. These people literally think war is a game. They are dangerous, shallow children and must be ignored. Now, that's a hardline position, but did you know that the Biden administration had approved Iran's massive missile strike against Israel?
Well, I definitely read the report about that in the Jerusalem Post this morning. We have incredible support from America. America is our greatest ally. In our congressional caucus, we have bipartisan support, Democrats and Republicans. But it's no secret that we're completely against the Biden administration's position when it comes to Iran. He's let $100 billion in Iran sanctions relief since he became president, which allows Iran to spend money on these suicide drones and ballistic missiles, and including Hamas and Hezbollah. They also stopped the sanctions on their ballistic missiles program after October 7th, which made no sense to Israel, which is, you know, why they have such a plethora of weapons. They've been hitting American targets in the Middle East since October 7th, and there's been almost no reaction. They've shut down all trade routes with the Houthis that they use as a proxy army. So there's in the Suez Canal, you can't, you know, get by without being harassed by Houthi terrorist organizations. They've trained Hamas. They support Hezbollah, and America is still seems to be giving them a pass. So, yes, it's true that the Biden administration fought with alongside us against this attack, but this attack would never have been have taken a place. No one, Iran would never have thought that they could do it if there wasn't so much pressure from the Biden administration and so much wobbly, you know, diplomatics when it comes to sanctions relief and letting them get away with bloody murder for the last 3 years.
Yeah. So bottom line, it's the Biden administration that funded those weapons that came after you. And now I want to talk about their response. We have to talk about their response. I think I'm going to, Adam, let's go to clip six. This is Sky News.
The U.S. president has condemned the attack in what he calls the strongest possible terms, but has urged Israel to take the win and not do anything to escalate the situation. The Israeli president, though, told Sky News that the attack was a declaration of war.
This is like a real war. I mean, this is a declaration of war, not because we are restrained and because we know the repercussions and because we have deliberations with our partners. We are considering all options, and I'm quite confident that we will take the necessary steps that are necessary to protect and defend our people. We are not war seekers.
Iran has said that its action is finished and warned Israel not to respond.
From our point of view, this operation is over, and there is no intention to continue the operation. But if the Zionist regime takes any action against the Islamic Republic, whether on our soil or in places belonging to us in Syria or elsewhere, our next operation will be much larger.
The attacks were celebrated by regime supporters in Tehran. They might be satisfied by the response, but Israel might feel it has no choice but to retaliate. This could still be just the beginning.
Well, that's true. That's Sky News again. I want to take the first part of that, Josh. Now, this is how I understand it from different sources. President Biden okayed with the Iranians this attack, then sent our troops in to join stopping the drones, the ballistic missiles from hitting. And then shortly after has this conversation with Benjamin Netanyahu telling him to take the win. Take the win. You know, just us says you've had enough. Now you've take the win. Okay, Josh, that's bizarre. How you know warfare. Have you ever heard anything like this in your life?
Well, you know, we hear the reports, and again, it was in the Jerusalem Post, that there was a, you know, an understanding but that Iran was going to attack, and they just said, you know, don't go overboard. I don't know if that's the case, but what's really troubling is not even that part. It's the part that they're saying not to respond and to take the win. Like, this is some sort of win. We were the victims of the largest attack in history when it comes to ballistic missiles and drones, with over 300 in one night. And to call that a win is shocking. But this is even more of a pattern. You know, we were attacked in the greatest genocide since the Holocaust on October 7th, where 1,200 women, men, and children were murdered. Holocaust survivors were kidnapped. Children were beheaded. Women were raped. And the minute we start fighting back, there's this call, again, from the Biden administration, from the other Western countries in the world, to pull back, to not fight, to not defend yourself. So whenever we're attacked, there seems to be a lot of support. The minute we start fighting back, everyone is very angry at Israel. Like, we're the only country in the world that doesn't have the right to defend ourselves. And I agree with the report you just played. I think this is just the beginning. I don't think Israel's going to take this sitting down.
Now, it's just like this huge game to some people. I agree with Caroline in that. It's like a huge game. I mean, they don't... Well, all right, I'll extrapolate on my own country later. But unserious people who don't mind others getting hurt, but they're cowards. And they can't imagine this. Plus, I think they are allied with the dark forces and not with their own country. But, okay, so Further, Joe Biden is saying, we will not support you in any further, I don't know exact wording is important. I think future attack or retaliation against Iran, you don't have our support. Is that how you understand it?
Yes, they said that if we did any offensive in retaliation for this attack, that we would not have the support. Again, that's what's being reported. You know, again, you have to say a few things about this. Number one, we have to really admire the brave American pilots who fought alongside Israel. That's not a small thing. They were given the order to do that. So we appreciate that. We appreciate the support of the American people. 80% of the American people support Israel. But this didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, this is policy matters. And because of the Biden administration's policy, Iran felt it's okay to attack us with over 300 ballistic missiles and drones. And then also they knew, I guess, going into this, that the Biden administration was going to call for us not to respond, which I think is outlandish. I mean, that's one of the wildest things you could ever imagine. Can you imagine any other country being attacked like this by another country? And the response is take the win. You know, what was the win in this? I don't get it.
Yeah, we don't get it either. Just for the record, we don't get it either. And I'm so grateful that the American pilots were able to help you. I think that's, again, where the American people stand. And I think it's really tough for us right now, as you know, Josh. So being half American, you certainly do understand. All right, so I want to ask you, though, practically speaking, I remember when Barack Obama was president, he's the first president in my lifetime ever that refused to resupply Israel, like with plane parts, with whatever parts they needed for defense. That's when I first heard that. So now I think it's become a tradition among, you know, the Biden administration. I don't know the nuts and bolts of that. Uh-huh. Play on words. But where are you going to get your supplies? And you don't have to tell me, but I do have to ask the question. If America doesn't resupply you guys, it doesn't help you with the Iron Dome, for instance, then are there other allies for you in the world?
You know, that's something that the government of Israel is going to have to decide. I think that America, in the end, will supply us. You know, we're the largest aircraft carrier for America outside of the America. If they need to land a plane in the Middle East, they're coming to Israel. The relationship between America and Israel is symbiotic. It's not that we just take and America gives. We have a huge strategic alliance with America. We defend American interests in the Middle East. We take the weapons that we get from America. We improve on them. We develop the technology like the Iron Dome, and we get the funding from America, and then we share the technology with America. So I don't think that alliance is going to stop. I think that what we're seeing from this pressure campaign from the Biden administration is a huge miscalculation, because the American people stand with Israel. So as they are pandering maybe to the Muslim community that is anti-Israel in Michigan, they'll start losing the community in the center and the independents who might otherwise support them. So I think that as this goes on, we'll see more support from America, not less, especially going into an election year.
Yeah, I hope and pray it happens that way. It's just so bizarre right now. Now Israel has to decide what to do. And I think there's no doubt. I was just watching an interview with Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister. I was watching Benjamin Netanyahu. There's no wavering on, yes, we will attack. We will fight back, regardless of what America says. We will counter this attack. Okay, so that leaves us on, you know what? I mean, I don't know if you want to speculate or I can speculate. What do you think they might go after? What are the possibilities?
Well, first of all, the number one possibility is probably, and this is what everyone's talking about here, the Iranian nuclear program. Iran's foreign policy is to wipe Israel off the map, and the only way they could do that is through nuclear weapons. I think that this attack is actually embarrassing for Iran, because they basically threw all their weapons at us. They don't have a sophisticated air force. They don't have a sophisticated navy. Their big thing is missiles and drones and things like that, and they pretty much threw everything they could at us, and you know, they didn't even make a dent. They couldn't even, you know, land a direct shot. So I think at this point, The big thing would be to go after their nuclear capabilities, just because that is an existential threat, and that is something that could change the Middle East. Also, you know, there's their proxy army Hezbollah in the north. Things have been on a low simmer, where they shoot at us, we shoot at them, but they have 150,000 guided missiles. I think that they're a very legitimate target to try to wipe out that threat now that we see that, you know, eventually they're probably going to use those missiles on us. There's nothing really holding them back anymore. And of course, there's still Hamas in Gaza, their other proxy army. They have about five divisions left, four of them in Rafah. The American administration has told us that they will not support us going into Rafah, that there'll be problems with the administration if we do, but we're going to have to, and we're going to have to do that. So the real question isn't what will be the retaliation. The question is, in what order will be the retaliation, I would say, because eventually we're going to have to take out all these strategic threats to Israel now that we see that they're, you know, the gloves have come off.
Well, of course, in the attacks, our attacks, the response to the Sabbath massacre by Gaza and by Hamas, Israel has received so much criticism, Josh, as you well know, internationally. It's just so bizarre, but it always happens. Happens in the UN and it happens in the press. So I heard last night Naftali Bennett being interviewed by an American reporter, and he was asked, well, now what happens within your counterattack on, I'm sure she didn't say it that way, on Gaza and on, of course, as you mentioned, the counter, the continuing, the offensive against the Gazans and Hamas. What happens with that now? And I think you just answered it, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Well, I think that it would make no sense for us to go into Gaza and to fight in Gaza if we weren't going to finish Hamas, which is the goal of this campaign. So eventually we're going to have to go in the Rafah. Eventually we're going to have to stop Hamas completely. And we've been very much pressured by the world community not to do it. But I think people in Israel don't really care anymore what the world community is saying, just because, you know, it's our necks on the line. It's not theirs. And yeah. So we see this with Iran, that they're attacking us from all areas. I think that our response is going to be in kind.
I just couldn't help reflect over, I wish I could play the last part of that clip I played a few minutes ago, where the Iranians are saying in response, now we're done. As far as we're concerned, this is over. Yeah, that's probably, they're saying it for the very reasons you said, that they're not able now to really respond. They kind of shot their wad, so to speak. But I think we can't understate, though, Josh, how costly this is to Israel. I mean, even the Iron Dome itself to replenish, those are smart devices, and it's very expensive. Is it not? Each one of those costs a great deal of money, as I understand.
Yeah, they say that the just the defense of this attack, and because of the scale, we spent $1.5 billion just in our defense. So it is very costly. It's costly and also the men and women who have to defend Israel. You know, we have a small army and then we have reserve duties. So when we called up, you know, 300,000 people after October 7th, those people were, you know, mechanics and taxi drivers and restaurateurs, and they weren't, you know, a professional army. So this all is very costly. But in the end, the most important thing is human life, and we'll do whatever we need to do to defend our people.
You know, it's one of the complexities of Israel that we should explain is that as small as Israel is, there is no, in general, there isn't consensus. When it comes to national security, there seems to be consensus. And there's been a lot of division in that little tiny place. And the left hates Netanyahu. They hate Israeli, whatever, current leadership, I guess I should say that, broaden it to that. They've been marching in the streets. I think they, as I understand it, they quietened down after this Sabbath massacre. But then they've been back in the streets again, coming after Bibi Netanyahu. So I'm just curious, what's going on now?
You know, the people who come out to the streets is a very small minority of people. They're mostly on the extreme left. And that's been happening way before the war. We see that with the judicial reform as well. The majority of people, you know, are very united on the fact that we need to fight this war. It's one of the most uniting things from left to right. I would say that there's general consensus that this war needs to be fought and this war needs to be won. And the people have come together to fight. So the Bibi Netanyahu and Ben, our prime minister, his popularity really isn't an issue right now. I think most people want to just win this war. And people on the right, you know, they have criticisms of Benjamin Netanyahu. He's been prime minister for many years now, a long time. But it's not that they want him to step down or anything like that in the middle of this war. They may vote for someone else in the next election. But, you know, the majority of the people are committed to winning. And, you know, they want leaders who will win. I think that if, you know, the prime minister doesn't fight back against Iran or Hezbollah or Hamas, then I think they'd be in big trouble. And I don't think they would win that. But I think as long as they continue this fight, then they'll have popular support.
Josh, are you in or near Jerusalem?
Yes, I'm actually right now about 5 minutes outside of Jerusalem. I live in a community outside Jerusalem. And on that night, you could actually see the Iron Dome from the window of my bedroom knocking out the missiles. So my kids got a good fireworks show that evening.
Wow. Well, so what's it like today? You've had an old day. It's the end of Monday for you. What's the atmosphere like? And is there activity in the streets? Or how are people, like, managing in this, like, window of time before a strike happens?
You know, it's very surprising to say, but everyone's very optimistic. People are, you know, people love life here. You know, people are always... I think in the 2 weeks ago, a report came out that we're the fifth happiest country in the world. And people say, how is that possible during one of the biggest wars in our country's history? It's, you know, we're stiff-necked people. We have disagreements, but we know that God is in charge. We know that when we go to war, God fights in front of us. And so I think the fact that we're people of faith, and that we people who love family, that we always look at things with the cup half full. So the streets are a bustle. I mean, it was hard to get here on time to the office for the interview just because of all the traffic. People are excited about what's going on. You know, people think, okay, this is our chance to take out the Iran nuclear program. And, you know, people were really excited to see that God stepped up and saved us when the big attack came. So I think that people would be shocked that of the normalcy of Israel. You know, all the restaurants are open. People, they're full. People are just out, you know, enjoying their lives. One of the big jokes was that the day after the attack, they showed a picture of the beach in Tel Aviv, and you couldn't get a seat at the beach. You know, people just went on with their own lives because, you know, for good or for bad, we've gotten used to this.
You know, I actually think that's biblical, Josh. I know in so many of the conflicts in the Old Testament, I look to that because as someone who watches and worries about what's happening everywhere, including my country, I see these admonitions through the prophets to go on with your normal life. You know, just continue. Do what's before you. Go through your daily routine. It doesn't say daily, but the gist of it is do what you've always been doing because we can't control. We don't know what's going to happen. Of course, there are exceptions when you have to go to bomb shelters. But in general, don't freeze in fear and stop living. And so I think that that's what God would have you do and us too.
Also, I would point out also, Sandy, on that point that in the last 2,000 years, as bad as it may seem, you know, being in war and under attack, this is the best the Jewish people ever had it. You know, this is our renaissance. We have our country back. We have our own government. We have the own army. We don't need anyone else to protect us. We live on our own terms. And God is, you know, in our midst again. It's a very exciting time to be Jewish and living in the land of Israel. And I think you need to have a lot of faith to be atheist today. I mean, and to not see the fulfillment of prophecy and what's happening in Israel. That's happening right before your very eyes. I think that's it takes a lot of faith not to ignore that, I guess, in what we're seeing. So yeah, it's an exciting time, despite the difficulties.
Wow, I'm glad I'm talking to you this morning and not other people. No, that's just wonderful. That just is thrilling. Is there anything that you would like to say before we say goodbye here that we can do? What can America? I'm talking about Americans, Christians, also specifically.
Look, I think that, first of all, we want to say thank you to the American people. We don't take it for granted. We don't take your support for granted. We don't take the fact that, your fighters are on the line now fighting as well, and that your people are supporting us. I would say to our Christian friends that, you know, as people of the book, we must stand together to defend our Judeo-Christian values that are under attack. Our enemies say first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, meaning first Israel and then America, and that we need to come together to defend that. We're the front line, but you're the next phase of that fight. So I would just say for anyone who cares about Israel and the God of Israel, it's now the time to get involved and off the sidelines. Talk to your legislators, get them to support Israel, get them to stand strong. So my first message would be thank you, and my second message would be keep it up.
Josh, one last question. Any regrets about moving to Israel as a teenager? I think you were still a teenager, moving to Israel and making your home there. Any regrets?
Absolutely not. You know, I thank God every day that I get to live in Israel, that I get to raise my family in Israel. Israel is one of the most beautiful places in the world, if not the most beautiful place. And there's just an incredible place to live and to be a part of, to have your children raised here. Despite what you see on the news, it's a very safe place. We don't have to lock our doors. There's no kidnapping. There's not much crime. So my kids get to be free and you know, go on their own. And you know, it's kind of like how my parents described growing up in America in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, we're very blessed to live in Israel, and then from a biblical point of view, to be able to live, you know, what we learned about as kids in the Bible, in every day, that, you know, my son on the holiday of Hanukkah went to an excavation and actually found a coin from the Maccabees who fought, in the war that we celebrate during Hanukkah. It's really every day we get to live the Bible here. It's a real blessing, and I would never leave Israel. As much as I love America, and of course I'm still a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan.
My husband's a Packer fan.
I grew up in Dallas. You got to forgive me. But yeah, as much as I do, I would never leave Israel. It's just a blessing.
Well, Josh Weinstein, it's a joy and a privilege, and this has been a great report from Israel. We appreciate it so much. Josh, again, is the president of the Israel Allies Foundation and the director of the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus. And this has been Sandy Rios, 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios, 24/7, on American Family Radio.
I told you earlier about Jabra, who took the abortion pill, and somehow the preborn nurse, when she went to preborn clinic, was able to stop that with progesterone, and she saved the baby. That's the kind of thing that happens every day there. And some of you actually have the means to give more than $28. I know you do. And if you do, and you would consider it, your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 would sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And when you do that, that saves about 200 babies on average. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And of course, make whatever donation you can afford. They will be grateful, and I will be too, for anything you can give. preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
Obviously, people in Israel have had a sleepless night, and it's been very frightening to have had such a massive attack from Iran of drones and ballistic missiles on Israel. But in spite of this, Israelis are aware that most Iranians are actually with them in solidarity, and there's a big, big difference between the Islamic regime and the majority, let's say, hopefully majority population of Iran. And Israelis are very aware that this is different than, for example, some, not all, Arabs, like Palestinians, where actually, unfortunately, a very large number of Palestinians or other Arabs might support attacks on Israel. Israelis are aware that Iranians do not support attacks on Israel or attacks on anybody, actually, and that Iranians are, by and large, a sophisticated, modern population that Israelis want to be in good relations with. And we've seen on TV in Israel, on newspapers, and also on social media, demonstrations in support of Israel over the last 6 months since October 7th. We've seen demonstrations by Iranians in London, in Paris, in America, in Germany, I think. We've also seen in football stadiums in Tehran, elsewhere in Iran itself, we've seen banners unveiled against Hamas, kind of in sympathy with Israel. We know that Iranians are embarrassed by the regime supporting Hamas, embarrassed by supporting some of the atrocities, the rapes and so on October 7th. And Israelis know that before the Islamic Revolution in 1979, there were relatively warm and good relations, you know, between Israelis and Iran. And we know that that can be again the case in future.
That was Tom Cross. He's a British commentary, and I thought, that isn't that fascinating? I actually saw, while I was prepping, translations of actual words coming out of Iran. We support the Israeli people. We are against our regime. It's just amazing, and that's an important part of this story. I've asked Bruce to join me. We're going to talk about a lot of things, just follow up a little bit on what Josh had to say. First of all, Bruce, I just would say I was really thrilled by his optimism. But as I was talking about America's response and all of that, I know you have some thoughts, and I want to hear what they are.
I agree with you that I am really optimistic hearing Josh and his description of what Israel is like right now. And I do think that our response as the United States needs scrutiny beyond nth degree, because Joe Biden, to me, his administration is playing a very dangerous game here. They're trying to play both sides against the middle to gain political points. They're, you know, they appear to support Israel by giving them equipment, but then on the other hand, they tell them not really to use it, you know, to take a measured response. And this is the way the Biden administration does a lot of things, like how they handle our border. They say, oh, the border is secure, but yet you look down there and people are pouring across it. They only care about politics. And this is a very serious situation. You know, I have to say, if I was Israel, I would say this is our time to do what we need to do. You know, the Biden administration treats Iran and Hamas, these groups, almost like Israel is being attacked by a mosquito. They want Israel just to wave their. You ever be bothered by a mosquito and you wave your hand, he goes away for a little bit, then he comes back, then you wave your hand and he goes away. The only way you can stop a mosquito, and this is a very deadly mosquito over in the Middle East, is to kill it. It will not go away on its own. And the U.S. acts like Israel should just sit back and allow this mosquito, this Iranian attack, to come time after time, Hamas to come time after time. And if you look at the situation Israel finds itself in right now, this is when I would go for it. If you're going to attack the Iranian nuclear program, go after Hezbollah, go after Hamas. They have the justification from the October 7th attack. 1,200 people of theirs killed. They have, you heard Josh say, Israel is united right now. That's not usually the case.
I know, it's amazing.
Usually there are all kinds of people, like here in the United States, that always want to pull back. You have the justification now of this attack over the weekend. And, you know, don't think, you know, the press is trying to play this off as it was a measured response by Iran, and they really were just trying to send a little bit of a message. That's not true. You heard what they launched against over 300 ballistic missiles and drones. The only reason their attack didn't succeed is that the Israelis and the Americans and their other allies were so good in shooting down these missiles. You talked about there was a targeting of the Dome of the Rock. Now, that's as sacred a place in Israel as there is. Now, for them to have attacked that or potentially attacked that, that does not show a measured response.
No, and I want to explain, if people don't know, the Muslims have built their temple because they always claim what the Jews claim. They always do. They also always claim what is sacred with Christians. They always build a mosque on, if they can, if they have control of the territory. So it was the same case on the Temple Mount. But there's a huge rock there, and I mean huge, unbelievably huge. And Jews believe that that's where Abraham started to sacrifice Isaac. The Muslims have made up their own story about what happened there, but that's how precious that place is to the Jews. And now the Arabs, the Muslims, have control of that. You can visit if you're lucky, because they built this big mosque up there like it's their sacred place. So this is how this happens. But the Iranians were willing to destroy it. They were willing to destroy their own sacred place, allegedly, and of course to destroy it because it's a sacred place for the Jews. You know, ironically, Bruce, the thing that strikes me, this is such a tiny little country. What is it, 11 miles wide? It's its narrowest place. And here they are taking on the enemies of the United States. They are, and of the world, really, because Russia's having attacks from Islamists. And they are taking this all on by themselves, this little tiny country with the whole world, like the you know, the European Union, the UN, you know, snidely sniping at them in the press, and they're taking it all on.
Well, as Josh said, this is not just Israel that is being targeted. It is all people from the Judeo-Christian world. As he said, it's the Saturday people first, meaning Israel, and the Sunday people next, meaning
us.
Christians.
Yep.
And again, we are playing a dangerous game with this nuclear policy that the United States took the sanctions off of Iran, off of their nuclear program. And if you read the reports, Iran is hurtling towards getting atomic weapons.
That's right.
Nuclear weapons, yeah. I should say.
Thanks to the Biden administration.
And we are allowing this to happen.
Yes.
Now, I take into account what Josh said. Israel is not just dependent on the United States. The United States is also dependent on Israel. They are our strategic ally, basically our only one that we can really count on in the Middle East. And I'm telling you, if I was Israel right now, I would be targeting that Iranian nuclear program, and I would wipe that out.
Yeah.
Because, as we said, these people will not quit. These Iranians will not quit. They have vowed. This is their goal in life, is to get rid of Israel.
Well, they think this is their moment. Although I thought it was really interesting in that little clip where they said at the end, well, we consider this the end now. That's enough now. We've done this, and we've gotten our revenge for the killing of our Iranian leader. But anyway, we'll be talking about this more. And we'll be talking about the American response. I can't get into that this morning. But the House and the Senate have different views, and at some point we will discuss the American response from our Congress in more detail. Well, I hope you enjoyed, at least learned from this, and I hope you're encouraged like Bruce and I are with what Josh Weinstein had to share with us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.